All right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say it to everybody in the chat. Just Fact is on. Tim L. T-Bird's on. Hassle Free TV is on. Gritterdom is on. Waterline 46 is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Dave Souders is on. Judy Anita is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Snarl Barkley is on. Daniel Armstrong Wreck is on. D9597 is on. Judy Anita is on. Chopper Supernut is on. Patriot 508 is on. Sheila K is on. Drumming for Jesus is on. Just Fact is on. Sexy Pony's on. Veronica 18201 is on. Richard Perry is on. Sheila K is on. Mike Griffith is on. Let me see here. Mobetta 01 is on. Kept Guy 1 is on. Stephan Toms is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Uncle Wally's on. Luann 5 is on. LA 106 Times is on. Dead Plan is on. Lisa Kinzer 11960 is on. Confederate 1 is on. Big Scott 1 is on. Conservative Waffles on. Peg Joe is on. Wilbur's Bud 1 is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. John Phillips is on. Confederate 1 is on. K4VMS is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Coco Domenici is on. Let me see here. Tyler Benz is on. Joe Gins, something like that, is on. Granite 2468 is on. Tim L. T-Bird's on. Becklin 60's on. Nitsua 99 already in the Rumble rant. Appreciate all you guys already ranting tonight. Thank you so much. S. Clark 1968 is on. Castellodina is on. The Great 8 T1AU is on. Spoken 007 is on. Aaron Yeager's on. Kathy 1604 is on. Let me see. Q13013 is on. Awethy is on. Swethy is on. Awethy and Swethy are on. I think that might be related to somebody in the studio tonight. Let me see here. I guess Hector Antonio is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Although we are ripping Joni Ertz in the pregame, which will continue to be because she is who she is. Go to the first one for me, Brent. Leading report tweet breaking. Senator Joni Ertz says she will now support Pete Hegseth through the nomination process. We have to ask, what changed exactly? The only thing that changed is basically a whole lot of political leverage against her. That's what's changed. So in other words, she is somebody with absolutely no integrity. She's somebody who has absolutely zero moral compass, but when something benefits her, she'll do it. If something won't benefit her, she won't do it, or vice versa. That's who this person is. So what's changed? Basically, what happened with her is word got to her, you're destroying your political career. If you listen to what I listen to, which is basically three things every day I listen to. That's Bongino, Bannon, and Alex Jones. Every single day I listen to them. If you listen to them, obviously a much larger audience than my own, although my audience is the best. They have a much larger audience, or hundreds and hundreds of thousands listening at a time. When you listen, when you hear those guys talking about it, and not to mention, I don't know, I don't listen to Tucker every day, but when you listen to those guys talking about leveraging her, and what, you know, and then you have Charlie Kirk also talking about leveraging her out of her Senate seat, primarying her out of her Senate seat, she got word, and she's like, you know what? I better get on board. This is, again, it's great that she's done it, but understand that it's purely for political expediency. She has not suddenly grown an ounce of human dignity or an ounce of integrity. She has just decided, this is politically beneficial for me, so now I'm going to vote for Pete Hegseth. Because what has changed? A couple of conversations? Pete Hegseth's military record is there for her to see. Guarantee you she has the clearances to see his military record. What else matters? Yeah, you know, whether it's adultery. Okay, everybody has on Capitol Hill. And I know that's hyperbolic. I'm just telling you that it basically, and here's the deal too with that. Everybody's an adulterer to some extent. I'm not talking about literal marital adultery all the time. But even guys who haven't committed adultery have committed adultery with their eyes anyway in the eyes of the Lord. That's just Matthew 5:28. Never let the Bible get in the way of your theology. But I mean, it just is. So for her to sit back, and whether it was adultery or whether it was his drinking or whatever it may be, first of all, he's been in a solid marriage for a long time now. He's committed his life to the Lord according to what he says. Does a lot of things for veterans, but whatever. This woman is just typical in Capitol Hill. Somebody who's in it for herself. She knew that if she didn't, this is why I'm saying. Like, for me, it's too late now because, and you're like, Tom, here it comes. You're going to talk about Gates again. You're right. Talking about Gates again. This is my whole point. Make them vote up or down in public. Make them sign on the dotted line, yay or nay, to a Trump nominee. Make them do it. She isn't going to vote against. And by the way, these, unlike voting, and again, why is it that when we vote for Senate Majority Leader, it's a secret ballot? Why is that even allowed? Why would you ever even want that? Why would you want a secret ballot? But anyway, these votes for nominees are not secret. So I'm like, why was Gates ever pulled down? Why did he ever go down? I mean, here we have Gates no longer even a member of Congress anymore. But I'm like, why was he ever pulled down? Make Ernst vote yay or nay and destroy her own career. The Rhino Republicans, or what you would call the establishment Republicans, are no longer the majority of the Republican Party. It's people like you and me. We are the majority. She knows that. She was against Gates. We all know that. She was against Hegseth. She was angling for his job. She wanted to be Secretary of Defense. She wanted that job. She knew that she wasn't going to get it. She knew that she was looking like a horse's rear end, angling for it, posturing for it. She knew she was. And she knew she was looking bad doing it. So she pulled back, and now she's going to endorse Pete Hegseth. These are just the typical, and this is very typical of pastors now in our culture. If they believe that it's politically beneficial for them, by politically, I mean they'll get nods from people. They won't get name called. They won't be called a conspiracy theorist. People won't leave their church. If they believe that it's politically expedient for them, they'll preach a certain message. If they don't, they won't. What should be the line? It's the same thing if you're a Republican. It should be the Republican platform. If you're an American, it should be the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. If you're a Christian, it should be the Bible. You should preach wherever you are at. If you, that's what you've said, you're a Republican, then you abide by the Republican platform. If you're a Republican and you have a Republican president who has just voted in a landslide election, winning all seven swing states and winning the popular vote, and receiving more votes than he got last time, you ought to be, there's nothing to discuss here. You as a Republican senator can and shall approve and confirm his nominees, just like the Democrats do. If you're gonna approve, and I don't know which ones she approved of and which ones she didn't, which ones she confirmed and which ones she didn't, but if you're gonna approve of Mayorkas, if you're going to approve of Merrick Garland, Javier Becerra, and many others, if you're going to approve these people, Pete Buttigieg, if you're going to approve all of these with zero qualifications, as well as, I just forgot her name. But I can't believe I forgot her name. But anyway, just many others. If you're Rochelle Walensky, there you go, CDC, whatever it is, you're going to approve these people? And then not approve Pete Hegseth because he's not qualified? How is fat Lloyd Austin? How is he qualified? How exactly is he qualified? Because he secures both contracts, multi-billion dollar contracts on both sides at the DOD and the military industrial complex. Is that what makes him qualified? So again, these people, great. You know what? She voted for it. And you know, everyone's, you know, butt kissing her and boot licking her. Fine. You want to do that because it's politically expedient for you to do so. But just understand this is the enemy with a D, I believe, if I saw it correctly, a D Liberty score. So, you know what? We don't, again, great, she's doing it. But it's the enemy within, right out of Jude chapter 3 and 4. It's the enemy within. And it's just like we saw in the church. Did most pastors close for COVID? Yes. Did most pastors pimp and whore vaccines? Yes. Did most pastors stand 6 feet apart? Yes. Did most pastors put out alcohol gel stations? Yes. And eventually what happens is when you leaven the 1 Corinthians 5:6, when you put a little leaven in the lump, it leavens the entire lump. Eventually you'll hear the same pastors that pimped and hoard vaccines and standing 6 feet apart and donning masks. You will see them tell you that there's more than one way to heaven. That's who these people are. Joni Ernst, Liberty Square. Hey, got it right, Aaron. Yep. 62% D. Aaron sends these things to me left screen. All right, let's go to the next one. Daniel Penny, I haven't covered this story a whole lot, maybe a little bit. I don't know if we covered it all, to be honest with you. But leading report breaking, Daniel Penny has been acquitted. Obviously, he's the guy who put his name, I have it over here, Jordan Neely, put him in a chokehold. on the subway in New York because the guy was threatening to murder everybody in the train. Kind of a, you know, and this, you know, this guy has been arrested numerous times. Had been classified, had been diagnosed with mental illness, schizophrenia, actually, had been diagnosed as schizophrenic, going crazy, threatening to kill people, very violent. So Daniel Penny put him in a rear naked choke. And the guy was full of drugs. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Sounds very much like George Floyd and Derek Chauvin. The guy's full of drugs and the guy dies. Well, the guy didn't die. You don't die from a rear naked choke. You just don't, folks. I mean, I accidentally knocked somebody out with one time. Accidentally, not in law enforcement. I was messing around in high school and knocked my friend out with it. Didn't know how it worked, so I locked it in. And the next thing I know, he passed out. So, you know, nobody dies from him. He died because he had other things wrong with him. He's high on everything on earth. Numerous arrests. Can't remember exactly how many arrests. Multiple double-digit arrests. And now what's funny is Jordan Neely's dad, who abandoned him decades ago, is now coming forward talking about how he wants to sue everybody and he misses his son. Hasn't seen his son in decades. Hasn't given a crap about his son for decades. Never fathered his son at all. But now, of course, he's coming out as well as the BLM stuff. But the BLM stuff, you've noticed, if you're following it on social media, it's not gathering any steam. Because if you get acquitted, if you're basically, let's just put it out there, and people call me a racist all they want. I don't care. I honestly don't care anymore. Whatever somebody calls you, that means you're the opposite of, if a leftist calls you something, you're the opposite of what they're calling you. So, you know, if they call me a racist, it's perfect. That means I'm not a racist because a leftist called me a racist. But the BLM people are going out there and they're trying to make something out of this. But when a New York City, downtown Manhattan jury acquits you, that is BLM for all intents and purposes. Aaron sent me something. Jordan Neely had 42 prior arrests between 2013 and 2021. So that doesn't even count the last couple of years, but 40-something arrests.
Yeah.
So there you go. He's probably too crazy to arrest after that. He's probably just being Baker acted over and over again after that. Just Baker act 72 hours of forced psychiatric care, whatever they call it. And that's what they call it in the state of Florida, whatever they call it in the other states. Goes state by state, but it's basically the same law in every state. But anyway, so they're trying to gain some momentum with this stuff. It is going to work. There's no momentum behind it because he already basically got acquitted by BLM. This Manhattan makes up BLM. I mean, he got acquitted because it's an absolute joke. There's no way. There's black jurors. It's not going to happen. And it's gaining absolutely no momentum. His dad's lawsuit will fail dramatically. But, that, you know, again, acquitted. But, you know, here's the thing. I want to comment on this. We have to get to the place in our culture where, I mean, Alvin Bragg, he needs to be fired, obviously. Alan Dershowitz called for him to be fired. He should be fired. That goes without saying, but it's not going to happen because he works for Letitia James. But he should be fired because, once again, just like the bodega, you know, the bodega owner who stabbed the guy who's trying to stabbed him to death. The guy who's trying to rob him with a gun, the bodega owner stabbed him to death, and then he gets charged. And then immediately, public pressure. See, that's what I mean. And it's the same thing with Joni Ernst. If public pressure makes you do or not do something, if it makes you do something that is wrong, or makes you not do something that is right, you're a person with zero integrity and backbone. That's who you are. Listen, people are mad at me all the time. I live a lifestyle of people being mad at me all the time because I simply say what's true. I'm banned off of social media. I haven't been able to friend anybody on Facebook for 4 years. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? Can't friend anybody for 4 years. Sounds like a sad song. But I mean, get banned off of, you might be watching me on YouTube. But when we go, right when Aaron's done with this podcast, Aaron goes and deletes it off of YouTube because they'll ban us from it. What got my church banned for life off of YouTube was saying that ivermectin works. And by the way, ivermectin works. But we have to get to the place where when people don't commit crimes, they're not charged. What's happening right now, and I'll see if you can follow me on this, if I can word it correctly, is that people get charged and found guilty based on the seriousness of the offense. Not the evidence against them. If it's a serious offense, I'll just use something, of course, it's very hyperbolic. A child molester, a rapist, whatever it is, something that's really bothersome to society, and should be. But if somebody has that accusation made against them, then they have to be found guilty. Just like you have to believe every accuser. I mean, Me too, and all that stuff. You have to believe the accused. No, you don't. I have another police officer sitting in the room with me right now. He's not anymore. I'm not anymore. But I'm just saying, both were put years in law enforcement, both of us. You investigate crimes. You don't believe. You don't believe the victim. Because a lot of times, they're not a victim. If you ask Brent, sitting over to me right, over to my right, and he was a cop in Cincinnati, Cincinnati area, how many times did he have people lie to him that said they were victims? All day, every day, people claim to be victims, and they're not. It's just like when people claim, we call them, I don't know what you call them in Cincinnati, but we call them crack rentals here. Where Aaron's laughing. We call them crack rentals because what happens is people make a drug deal and they loan somebody their car in the midst of a drug deal. And then whoever they loan, because they gave the person their car for drugs and the person drives off and runs it into a ditch and smashes it. And then they report their car stolen. We call it a crack rental. What car wasn't stolen? It was given to the suspect by the alleged victim in a drug deal. And then when everything goes bad and there's a car crash, then suddenly the car was stolen from an unknown assailant. So you don't believe every victim. You investigate. You don't believe every victim that says they're raped. How many of you know? I mean, look at E. Jean Carroll. Do we honestly believe that she was raped by Donald Trump in a dressing room with no door, no witnesses, no address, no phone number, no date, no time, no year, no evidence, no DNA, nothing? No. You investigate every allegation. You don't believe every allegation. But now, if the allegation is severe enough, the accused has to be found guilty. No, it doesn't matter. What matters, the seriousness of the accusation doesn't matter. What matters is the evidence against the accused. Guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. Listen, Jerry Sandusky is innocent. I mean, again, we did a show on it here. You know, he's absolutely innocent. If you look at it, there's no evidence the man ever committed a crime. There's no, you actually break it down and listen to it. But I digress. But I mean, that's my point, is that if it's a serious accusation, somebody has to be found guilty. Somebody's got to be found guilty of it. Need to look at a series. You don't know about Jerry Sandusky call with the benefit of hindsight. Find that series. It's freaking awesome. You need to watch it, and you'll know. There's no evidence. It's like there wasn't against Donald Trump, but was Donald Trump found guilty in a civil court? Yeah. What was the evidence? What was the evidence? Nothing. But in a serious allegation. So somebody had to be found guilty, although we know there's a lot of political angles going on, of course, with that case too. But here, it's just like Kyle Rittenhouse. It's on video. Why would any prosecutor ever file charges? Does everybody know how this works? I'm telling you again, you got two cops in the room right now. How it works is you have an incident. A cop decides whether or not to fill out a probable cause affidavit against a suspect. Or a warrant, a capias against a suspect. And then the district attorney, i.e. prosecutors, sometimes they're called state attorneys. They decide. The state attorney, district attorney decides whether to file formal charges. Even if a cop wants them charged, that state attorney or that district attorney can decide not to file formal charges. They just dismiss the whole thing. Why in the world was Daniel Penny ever charged to begin with? Where was they dropped, of course, the manslaughter charge, and then I can't remember the something homicide charge, second degree homicide charge. Why in the world would he ever be charged when there's absolutely no intent to harm anybody? None. He didn't put that guy in a full mounted position and take a rock and smash him over the head 20 times. He defended other people's lives. You simply go, okay, you know what? You write that down. If you're a cop, you know what that report would have been if it was me? And you have to have the guts to do it. Disturbance. You got a dead body. I know, long, detailed disturbance. With a dead body, that's what it would be. Be a full called out forensic unit disturbance call because there was no crime. But since somebody's dead, there has to be a crime. That's not true. Do trains run over people? Yes. Is there a crime? No. This stuff has to be fixed in our judicial system. Has to be. And I'm not, and again, I'm always on the blue judge, blue jury, blue jurisdiction train. I know in the political prosecutions, but here I'm even removing it out of it, even though this is somewhat political. Basically, a lot of times it's nobody has the guts not to charge. I dealt with a woman one time as a cop, and she came up and told me that she was raped. And I said, okay, how were you raped? She said, well, I was watching a movie with this guy, and he started to kiss me and started to take my clothes off. And I said, okay, so he started to kiss you and you did what? I kissed him back. Okay. Then he started to take your clothes off. What did you do? I let him. Okay. Well, did you express any resistance at all, verbally or physically? No, not at all. Okay. And then he took my pants off, took all my underwear off, all my stuff. Okay. At some point did you say to the guy, because you're making out and stuff, I don't want this. Never. And then she said, you know, he had sex with me. I said, okay. Did you ever express to him, verbally or physically, that you didn't want to have sex? And do you resist in any way, shape, or form, verbally or physically? No. I told her, you weren't raped. You weren't raped. Every other cop would have written that as a rape. I'm telling you, they would have, because they would be afraid not to. And then it would be up to a district attorney, what we call state attorneys here, to dismiss the case. You need to have the balls to say that's not a crime, even though it's a tragic event. It's not a good thing that Jordan Neely died. No way. He didn't get a chance to get saved. That's how I look at it as a pastor. But it was no crime. It was an accidental death. It's a disturbance. Long form written, you know, 10-page disturbance. Usually disturbance, you know, are cleared with a very small report, if any report at all. But this one would have, of course, report and a forensic call out. That's it, though. You don't charge this man with manslaughter and second-degree homicide. For how? How? Again, what does every law have to it? Elements of the crime. Element. There has to be specific elements in it. You can't charge somebody with burglary if it doesn't meet the elements of a burglary. It'd have to meet the elements of a different crime if it's a crime at all. What is a burglary? A burglary is entering and remaining in somebody else's property and committing a crime there. Now, that's different than trespassing and committing a crime, because that would be different. If you just simply trespassed on somebody's yard and stole their lawn dwarf, okay, that's a theft and a trespass. If you break into their home or you go over their fence, steal their motorcycle and go, that's a burglary, because you entered into what's called the curtilage. You'd gone past their curtilage, what blocks you into getting into their property. And then, of course, you stole their motorcycle. You break into their house and commit a crime there. If you break into the house and beat the person up, then you're charged with burglary and battery. If you break into the house and steal their safe, then it's burglary and grand theft. See how it works? That's how it is. If it doesn't, if the person's driving down the road in the back of their truck and they got a safe sitting there and you walk up and steal their safe, what crime is it? Is it a burglary? No. It could be, depending on where it's sitting, it could be a vehicle burglary if you had to go inside the vehicle to get it, or you had to enter into the bed of a truck to get it. But if it was sitting on the roof or sitting on the back of the car and you took it, it's a theft. Doesn't meet the elements of the crime. What elements of manslaughter did Daniel Penny's incident meet? None. How about second degree homicide? None. Zero. Why was he charged? Well, Tom, thank goodness, because you'd never be found guilty if the elements of the crime you're being charged with weren't met. Oh, really? Ask Derek Chauvin that, who's spending 22 years in prison in Minneapolis, in Minnesota right now. Derek Chauvin didn't kill George Floyd. There's no elements of the crime. Did he have intent to kill? No. He's found guilty of, like, and then they double charge everybody. Manslaughter, second degree homicide. You should have to choose. Not stack charges. You should have to choose which charge it's going to be. Don't charge them with the same thing under different statutes seven times over like they did with Chauvin. And even with all of Chauvin's convictions that he got, the average sentence would have been 13 years and he got 22. Or maybe 11 years and he got 22. He got double it. It's an odd number. It's either 11 or 13. You can look it up. But anyway, somebody has to stand up. It's not, and this is why I tell you, I would never live in a blue state. I don't know if I'd even travel to a blue state. I honestly don't, because you can't get a fair trial there. The moment they find out you're MAGA, you're not getting a fair trial. You're like, Tom, but if the elements of the crime they're being accused of aren't met, then how can they convict you? What would stop them from convicting you? Well, I could appeal it. Appeal it to who? The appellate court's blue too. Then the Supreme Court's blue too. Maybe if you got $10 million and you can get it to the actual Supreme Court. It's already 9:34, and I've gotten through like two slides. But I mean, I could spend all night on the judicial system. This is a travesty. The man never should have been charged. I mean, he gets locked up. I mean, he has to bail out. Been living with this thing for, what, a year? Hanging over his head? Never should have happened. All right, let's go to the next one. Real America's Voice video. All right, on to Syria. So it's weird. And, you know, the title of the show tonight is, you know, Biden's not leaving quietly. And Biden's just a symbol. We all know Biden. We saw him at the Christmas tree thing. I mean, he's gone. I mean, Biden is gone. I mean mentally and physically, the man is gone. But anyway, he's gone. I mean, you know, not physically. He's there. But, I mean, he's not there. But when I say Biden is just basically a globalist symbol because he's globalist controlled. And all of what you're seeing happening right now is to make sure that when Donald Trump takes office, he's got a giant mess. And here's the thing you need to remember with all of this stuff. Everything that you and I have been taught our whole life, and you take it down to the rudimentary, there's heroes. Okay, there's heroes that stormed the beaches of Normandy. If you go back to the Revolutionary War, that was real. Elements of the Civil War were real, but after that, not much. I mean, what was World War One was caused by an assassination attempt, right? You look at what's happened with Donald Trump. What would have happened if he was assassinated? Who's he being? Who is it that's trying to assassinate him? Of course, you have Ryan Routh with deep contacts with Ukraine, a war that Trump is trying to resolve. Crooks who had encrypted accounts all over the globe as a 20-year-old dietary specialist at a nursing home who practiced his shooting at the same gun range as, like, what was it, the ATF, FBI?
I think it's DOD.
DOD, Secret Service, something. Yeah. But he had the same gun range. So it's just, I mean, he's there intermingling with those people. So everything that you and I have been taught, and again, the guys who stormed into the Twin Towers to save lives, whether it's Port Authority, NYPD, Fire Department in New York, are heroes because they don't know any better. They don't know any better. But of course, the Twin Towers were taken down by our own CIA, by our own FBI. I don't have time to do a deep dive into it, but I'm just saying everything that you and I have been taught our whole life about history is all a lie. It's a global cabal, an Illuminati sort of cabal of a small group of oligarchical, hypocritical, hierarchical globalists that control basically everything for their own self-interest, whether you go back to the Rockefellers and everybody else. That's all that this is. You go back to the Fed, everything. You and I are living basically in a fishbowl controlled by a small amount of people. And those people need to be exposed. They need to be litigated. They need to be prosecuted or voted out of office, whatever is applicable. So what's happening in Syria is Assad, he's gone now. And who's in charge of Syria now? When they murdered Muammar Gaddafi, who took over Libya? Libya, again, that means you're pro-Gaddafi? No. It doesn't mean you're pro-Gaddafi or pro-Assad. But who takes over for these guys? Who takes over? CIA-funded ISIS. USAID-funded ISIS. That's who takes over. So now you don't have Assad anymore. Oh, that's great. And you're like, what's the purpose behind it all? Well, we don't know all the purposes behind it all. But one of the purposes behind it all is endless warfare. So that Democratic Party contributors and globalist contributors continue to contribute, and some of their major contributors, of course, are the industrial war complex, industrial war industry, really, who's owned primarily by BlackRock. You're talking about Raytheon, talking about Honeywell, Lockheed Martin, they're owned by BlackRock. And again, everybody knows, since I've said it 1,000 times, why do they want Ukraine to be part of NATO? Because then they have to buy all their weapons from NATO contractors, which are all owned by BlackRock. Why do they want perpetual war in Syria? So because the perpetual war feeds their own coffers both politically and personally. All right, Real America's Voice, somebody that you absolutely have to follow, is Mike Benz here talking to Natalie Winters. Play it for me, Brent.
Mike, I want to pivot, since we only got you for a few more minutes, to what is going on in Syria, because you always sort of have the real, actual, non-USAID spin of what's going on there. I sent the studio a tweet that I hope we have, but if not, I don't know if the studio's going to be able to pull it up, so if you can sort of just give us your thoughts on what's going on there.
It's one for the history books. So basically, ISIS is now fully in control of Syria, completing the wish list items of the Obama administration. This is basically the first W that the Biden administration has gotten in 4 years of foreign policy disasters. It was essentially L after L after L. And then finally, the last month that Biden's in office, he gets one victory on the world stage, and that is installing ISIS as the head of Syria. So basically, we have been pumping up these al-Qaeda groups and these al-Qaeda spinoff groups as a way to topple Bashar al-Assad in Syria. There's been this lightning blitzkrieg over the past week where to many people this has come as a sort of bolt out of nowhere, because Syria had, backstopped by Russia and Iran, had rebuffed the largest CIA operation in declassified history, something called Operation Timber Sycamore, which was excluding Ukraine, in my opinion, but it is formally the most expensive, most expansive CIA regime change operation ever undertaken in U.S. history, and it failed spectacularly, actually, several years ago. There's been an effective stalemate, but suddenly ISIS made a huge resurgence and just conquered the entire country. Now, they've done so through this sort of ISIS rebrand called HTS. And what I was asking your producers to put on screen is something that I think will live in Twitter history, in X history. It should be framed, frankly, in the Louvre or some museum. This is a tweet from the U.S. Embassy in Syria. So this is the State Department in Syria in May 2017. And it says, "We remain committed to bringing leading al-Qaeda figures in HTS to justice." And there's a big image saying, "Stop this terrorist, Mohammed al-Jalani," up to a $10 million reward that the State Department was offering for this man's head. The State Department is now backing this man to rule Syria. He is the rebel leader of HTS. He is the military leader who is going to play a very senior role now in Syria's new government. And just 7 years ago, under Trump, there was a $10 million bounty on his head because of his role as an ISIS terrorist. Now, this tweet is still live. This is why I wanted to make sure we got this live on this segment, because I am fairly confident that the U.S. Embassy is going to take this tweet down because of what a humiliation it is for exposing the U.S. use of ISIS fighters as a cynical cannon fodder faction in order to topple foreign governments. But the other thing that I find very strange here is the timing of this. Trump campaigned on ending ISIS in 2016 and has declared along the campaign trail that he will essentially do a counter-jihad on jihadi forces. Well, we've got a lot of those in reserve because they're backed, funded, diplomatically supported, and militarily armed and trained by the United States of America, our CIA, our USAID camps, our diplomatic back channels. And so I suspect that they fear Trump will wipe out ISIS, and so they've essentially done this last-minute Hail Mary to use all these assets before Trump is handed the reins and sees them for what they are and shuts them down. But it's too late now, because they are now the government of Syria now.
And what's hysterical about this, too, is if you watch today's episode with Alex Jones and General Flynn's on there, General Flynn believes that in Syria, you have the CIA fighting the DOD. So CIA-backed factions in Syria are fighting DOD-backed factions. Here you have it. The United States government right there. I believe that's the FBI symbol at the bottom. I can't quite tell. Aaron, blow that up. Can you blow that up at all? See if I can read that at all. Who put that up? But I guess not. But anyway, oh, there you go. See rewards. Department of Justice. Thank you, Aaron. Awesome. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. So reward for the Department of Justice. They want this guy. So, and like Mike Benz says, he doesn't know how long this information is going to stay out on Twitter, out on social media because of this humiliation. So Biden's been trying and trying and trying and trying to have one foreign affairs victory. He's got one war starting after another. He's got the Houthis bombing our Navy, and we don't do a freaking thing about it. You got the war in Ukraine. You got the war in the Middle East. You got China surrounding Taiwan, doing amphibious landing practices near Taiwan, flying over. We got Chinese balloons for 8 days flying over the United States of America, taking pictures and transmitting them straight back to Beijing. Happening all under Biden, and all of it's because he's being extorted and people have leverage over him. That's why he doesn't care. But he had to have one before he leaves. He's got to have one foreign affairs victory. And what is that one foreign affairs victory? You have the Department of Justice's, one of their most wanted people ever, really. I mean, I shouldn't say ever, but a highly, very much wanted person right here. Stop this terrorist, Muhammad al-Jalani. Muhammad al-Jalani, by the way, the number one name now. The number one name, where they track baby names, just leave this up for me. The number one baby name in what country now is Muhammad? It's one of Five Eyes countries. So your choices are United States, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, or England. Which one is it? The number one new baby name. The number one preferred new baby name in this country is now Muhammad. Can anybody guess? It's not the United States. They only got four left. Anybody guess? Put it in the chat. Can anybody guess? Number one baby name in that new baby name in that country. Put it in the chat. Go ahead. Someone type it in the chat. Which country is it? Your choices are England, Canada, New Zealand, or Australia. Muhammad is number one. Nobody's putting it in there. Nobody wants to. There you go. Ben's got it. England. He's right. There you go. Good job, Tyler. Thank you, brother. I'm glad somebody did it. Oh, there we go. Hassle Free TV. He's got England. Britain, Tim LT Bird. There you go. Everybody saw it. Yeah, Gritterdom, England, everybody's got it. So there you go. Number one now. Isn't that great? You're like, hey, you know what? Freedom of religion, only if it doesn't violate your constitution. Sharia law violates the constitution. Christianity doesn't. Sharia law does. So anyway, so Biden's grand victory on the international stage is to install a most wanted terrorist now as the ruler of Syria. So I'm wondering, according to General Flynn knows everything. All right. I don't know how. I've met him. Great guy. Honest person. Man of integrity. He knows everything. I wonder exactly who is the CIA backing. Are they backing this guy? Or are they backing somebody else? And the DOD's backing somebody else. And they're actually fighting against each other. And you're like, well, how could that be? That's absolutely ridiculous. Not if it makes money. Not if it makes money for the left. And this is all just hyperbolic off the top of my mind. If it makes money for the left, they would gladly have our Marines fighting our Navy, our Army fighting our Coast Guard, our Air Force fighting the Marines, whatever it may be. They'd be gladly do it as long as there's constant warfare, which feeds the globalist coffers politically and personally. That's all they care about. They would gladly have a war. Listen, the CIA probably knows they're fighting the DOD. They probably know they are, and the DOD probably knows because they're fighting the CIA because neither one of them cares. As long as everybody gets to keep their jobs, you keep a giant, massive, bloated 4 million person federal workforce. 4 million people work for the federal government. As long as they're all getting their promotions and getting their paychecks, getting their non-government parachutes and their new promotions, whatever it may be, they don't care. They don't care at all. It's just like, you know, we talked about before with insider trading inside of Congress, where one of the examples that we used was basically an energy deal that was going on, where right before the energy deal happened, a congressman, I can't remember who it was, a congressman or woman benefited off the deal. Well, was it the energy company actually in on it? And leaked that information so the congressman or woman could benefit off of it? It's just basically a giant symbiote circle bleep that you and I don't benefit off of, but our rulers do, and we're not even supposed to have rulers, but we do. Spend all night on this one, too, and I'm not going to do it. So that's what's going on in Syria. Syria's basically their government's gone, so there's another one down. France has no government in place right now. The world's on fire because Joe Biden's in charge. Joe Biden's in charge, so the world's on fire. Why does France have no government right now? Because you have one politician who's trying to get rid of stop their galactic monstrous national debt spending, their deficit spending, but he wants to do it in the wrong way, so both the left and the right are against him. So it's parliamentary, so they call for their snap elections and whatever else. So you have Macron, who's weak but still in charge, but no prime minister. You can have a president, next level down, but no prime minister. You have no government. So they're in complete disarray too, because Biden's in charge. And the same thing that's happening in this country, I mean, not that country, but the same thing that happened in Brazil with Bolsonaro and Lula is now happening in Romania. Romania has no government now. The Romania's Supreme Court just called off the results of their election. Just disavowed their election. Can you imagine that? Somehow, I don't know how it works in Romania. I've never been there. I don't know how their government works. But their own Supreme Court has just said that they have, I'm trying to think of it, so they didn't cancel the election. They disavowed is somewhat of a word, but they basically canceled the results of the election. So now they're going to have a new election like in a year, but they just had an election, electing their new president. And the Supreme Court says, you know what? We're not going to recognize the results of that election that they've just elected it. Annuls. Thank you, Aaron. Annulled the election. That is the word everybody's using. That's their actual official governmental word, is they annulled the results of the election. All right, so this is a gay video. They canceled the election to prevent Kalin Georgescu from becoming the president of Romania because the EU and NATO need a puppet they can't control. They didn't control Bolsonaro in Brazil, so they brought in their Dominion and Smartmatic voting machines. And if you listen, folks, when you have like 10 million people on the streets saying that their guy won, he won. Okay, because it's just like Joe Biden claims he got 81 million votes and now he got 17 million less than the last, or Kamala got 14, let's see, she got like 64 or something like that. So 17, it's about 17 million. 17 million people don't not show up. Those 17 million votes were fake or fraudulent or they were just manufactured in the middle of the night when they shut down the ballot counting. They don't just stop voting. Basically, again, every single year in America, you have 1 to 1.2 million Americans die. Every year. Never stops. Never stops. It never stopped during COVID. But suddenly, in our first ever mass mail-in balloting election, you have 17 million extra people vote. That shows you that it's fraudulent. When you have 10, 20, you should see the pictures in Brazil of people coming out in support of Bolsonaro. It's by the tens of millions. He won. They all know he won. Lula didn't get any votes, just like Joe Biden didn't get any votes. Donald Trump crushed him in the first one in 2020 and smashed his vice president in the next one. And she didn't even get the amount of votes that she says she got either. Those are fraudulent. Because the only states she won were which ones? The states with no voter ID. So now in Romania, they're doing the exact same thing. They're annulling an election. They just annul an election. Why? What's the reason behind it? Here's the reason behind it. Because Russia, that was a shock, right? Russia made TikTok videos in favor of Georgescu. That's it. That's the whole thing. Okay, did we not make videos in favor of people? Wasn't Biden caught trying to remove Benjamin Netanyahu from office? Wasn't he caught doing it? Didn't he dispatch one of his envoys over there to do it? Yes. So what invalidates an election? So now if somebody puts media on it, and if you put it in like Davy Jones's hands over here, Aaron, you put it on some tech expert person, and they can make it seem like it comes from somewhere, then anybody can annul an election for any reason. If the only thing it takes to annul an election is interference on social media, which isn't interference. We're all adults. We propagandize every election on the globe. So does that invalidate every election? Britain, listen, our allies try to invalidate our elections. Britain dispatched people. Britain dispatched people to both take down Elon Musk and elect Kamala Harris. So if Kamala would have won, does that mean we annul the election because of foreign interference? Do you annul an election because a foreign entity made a TikTok, a video? Because that's what happened here. That's all that happened. No, Tom, there's got to be more. There's nothing more. They said foreign interference, so now it's annulled. So now Romania, who interferes in other people's elections, well, I guess any election that they interfere with will be annulled. So here is Kalin Georgescu speaking about the election. Play it for me, Brent.
I just want to be clear. You're saying that some European leaders and NATO officials came together to put pressure on the Romanian establishment to stop your campaign because they don't want peace.
Exactly. They need war. And they're looking only for war. The Constitutional Court of Romania, I want to be very clear from now, is a mafia court of Romania. Because they cannot accept. And nine people, because the court is a function of nine people decide for 19 million of people. This is not accept. This does mean coup d'etat made by the state, which is installed right now in power in Romania. But the power has only Romanian people and our soul. And it's impossible to change this. This is for sure. We don't give up. We don't stay just to wait what they are doing. And I'm absolutely convinced this situation will be changed very, very soon.
So there you go. Now let's go right to the next one for me. Brett, I have no idea how to pronounce this last name, but this is the president of Romania. Following Klaus, of course, is the name. Following the latest developments in Romania, I had an in-depth conversation with the president of the European Union Commission, Ursula von der Leyen. We have our face. We agreed that we hear every angle. Again, goes to totalitarianism. Every angle is used to usher in totalitarianism. We agree that we need to strengthen the security of social media following the elections in our country. So listen, it works for them in every way, shape, or form. They have these real Russian TikToks or fake Russian TikToks, so they now annul the election. That works for them. Then they use the precedent or the presumption that these were Russian TikToks to then tighten their controls over free speech. It's demonically beautiful. It's what they do every time, just like this. They're trying to do this exact same thing here, but you and I rose up against the Disinformation Governance Board with Nina Jankowicz. You and I rose up against it. And just like we did with Joni Ernst, they were humiliated to the place of taking it down, just like she was humiliated and politically leveraged and politically threatened into endorsing Pete Hegseth. That's the game. And if you listen, you need to be a street fighter in this game. You need to say what's right and say what's wrong, because this is now spreading like a plague around the globe, where you can use anything you want, just make it up, to destroy your political adversary, your political opponent. Just make it up. And again, it's some tacit, and by tacit I mean the most extreme form of tacit, where it doesn't even really meet the requirements of tacit, some sort of connection to an accusation is all that it is. Interference in election. What does interference in election mean? That means like bribery, stealing ballots, printing ballots, you know, all things Democratic Party does. That's interfering in election, not making a TikTok that's pro-candidate. That's not interfering in an election, but it has some sort of tacit connection to interfering in election, because somebody could have been influenced in their mind to vote for the person they saw in the TikTok video. So that was interfering in election. That's how they play. That's how, it would be like if I said, take down the Democratic Party. You're an insurrectionist. How am I an insurrectionist? Well, because the Democratic Party right now is in control of the country. And you said, take them down, so you're an insurrectionist. But I didn't. There was nothing violent. I didn't threaten violence. I said, defeat or take down the Democrat. But there's, that is a tacit, I mean, and tacit doesn't even cover, because tacit actually means some sort of connection. But that's the only word that I have. Extraneous, maybe? Connection to a conceptual argument. That's all that it is. But that's what they're using in criminal courts now. They just use that to annul an election in Romania. This is all leftist, globalist, bourgeois elitist doing this. The party that you and I aren't invited to. All right, let's go to the United Healthcare guy that got shot and killed. Of course, where? The streets of New York. Democratic stronghold once again. Here's this excellent podcast. This John McPhee, boy, he's wild. He's wild. Some of you have probably seen this already, but I have to do it. Got to do a little expose on this because it's pretty wild. This thing's pretty wild. Drinking Bros podcast. Man, it's 10 o'clock already?
Yeah.
Holy moly. All right, here's my prediction. All right, ready? 10-11. Done at 10-11. Aaron laughed already, but 10-11. So you guys can put your predictions. I'm telling you, 10-11. Done. All right, Drinking Bros podcast. John McPhee breaks down who likely killed the United Healthcare CEO in NYC. I know they've already arrested the suspect and all that, or got the suspect in custody. They haven't actually charged him with murder. They charged him basically with gun possession. But anyway, so we're gonna go from back to front. All right, play for me, Brent.
So he shoots him through the calf, yeah. 15 feet. That's not good.
What kind of weapon is he using first?
Yeah, back up a little bit. So the gun is a very small caliber, suppressed pistol. Most of the 22 ammo is subsonic, meaning it doesn't cross the sound barrier. But what happens is the ammo doesn't have enough to cycle the weapon. So this guy's got to cycle the weapon, right? But you see it jams and he's got to hit the back of the slide. 22 is notorious for not chambering, right? Mm-hmm. So he hits the back of the slide so it goes in battery so he can take another shot.
So you have, that's one of the things you do before you take a weapon out on an op like that, is you fire it a couple of times to make sure it's actually tuned up right.
So you don't think this was fired before then, is what you're saying?
No.
Okay. No, it doesn't look
the
like
the dude
it.
Shooting or has rounds, zero experience with this.
He can't fire the weapon very. I mean, even even with 22 at that range, you should be able to pop somebody in the back of the head.
Now, the gun is based off his shoulders, which is the biggest common mistake I see on the range, is the gun will stay 90 degrees from the shoulder, but what you'll see is it's low to the eyes. So his first shot, when he levels the gun to shoot, watch my hand. It'll go down. And this is why his first shot shoots him somewhere in that leg. And
now, he immediately racks that slide.
Yeah.
So he's either an intentional shooter, meaning he shoots a lot and he knows how to perform remedial action, or he expected that to happen.
If he knew anything about the gun, he would have practiced this a couple times. Now, I don't think this guy's a pro, and I'll tell you why. If this guy was a pro, just hear me out, I would not have shot from 10 feet away. I'd have walked up, put it to the base of his skull, shot it, dropped him, walked off with one shot.
Yeah, like if you're getting paid a bunch of money to assassinate somebody, and this is the CEO of the largest private insurance company on earth,
yep.
Right? He's definitely getting paid to kill this guy. There's no question about that, in my opinion. Then you make sure the job's done. Otherwise, you don't get paid.
If I set this up, here's what I would do. I would find me someone maybe with a little, maybe a veteran background, maybe not, just someone, a crackhead. I would hire him for this hit, right? I'd make sure he had the money, which would be a chump change of what he wanted. I would make sure he had the drugs he needed, and I would pay him in drugs as soon as he was done. He does this act. As soon as he's done, I'd make sure he OD'd.
Really?
Yeah, just push the plunger in, yeah.
Yeah. Two unrelated crimes, man. This is how they get away with it all the time. They pay some crackhead, and then the crackhead ODs, and no one can ever connect those.
John McVie, if you know who that is, I mean, he's basically, you know, Special Forces, you know, Delta Force. Okay, Delta Force is like the elite of the elite. Kill people all over the planet. I mean, he's killed people all over the globe. And basically says out loud that he enjoys his job, loves his job. So he's just a trained military, assassin, knows what he's talking about. Now, they made a mistake here because the suspect's still alive. Now, we all know this was an orchestrated hit. That doesn't, and like John says, they're not going to hire an ex-member of SEAL Team 6 that's too easily traced, and the person's going to out them, and it's just too public. They're going to bring in some nobody to do it. But the problem is that they allowed this guy to get arrested. So that's not my next one, guys. That should not be the next one. Next one is Ian Miles Chong. That's a mighty fine coincidence. I don't know where we're at here.
Yeah, that's what
that's
this
the
is.
Title. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, we're you know you're right. You guys are right. I'm looking. You reminded me of a different video. You were right. We're all 100% right. This is it's another video. It looks like that one. You guys are right as usual. I'm wrong. But anyway, listen to this one. Ian Miles. I just said it as I made my mistake. Ian Miles Chong video. You're like, Tom, you do this every show. I know. You got to fix it. I don't know why. Screw up the show at least once every time. But anyway, Ian Miles Chong video. That's a mighty fine coincidence. Listen to this timeline. Play for me.
Okay, I'm not exactly a conspiracy theorist kind of guy, but I couldn't really leave this one alone. So there is a connection between Nancy Pelosi and Brian Thompson, the CEO of United Healthcare. So hear me out. On September 21, 2024, there was a cyber breach at United Healthcare. Over 100 million data users were affected, healthcare workers and individuals. On that day, Nancy Pelosi purchased $4 million in a cybersecurity company called Palo Alto Networks. It is a specialist in cybersecurity. On the day of the announcement of the breach, she made that purchase. That company netted her $11.9 million. This was going to be up for investigation. Now, the person who was going to be investigated by the DOJ and was going to be potentially questioned about this cannot be questioned. Do with that as you will.
Their only screw up is that Luigi Mangione, if he's the killer, is now in police custody. I wonder if he'll end up hanging himself while he's in police custody. But let's go over that timeline real quick. So Brian Thompson, so obviously the CEO of UHC, United Healthcare. They had a major breach this year, just 2 months ago, 3 months ago, roughly. A major cyber breach, which I don't even know necessarily what that means. But anyway, major breach in their computer system at UHC, United Healthcare, on 9/21 of this year, September 21st of this year. 100 million accounts were affected. Now, was that on purpose? So that the day of, Nancy Pelosi purchases the day freaking of, she purchases somewhere between $1.25 million and $4 million worth of shares in Palo Alto Networks, which specializes in cybersecurity, and profits $11 million. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Isn't that kind of odd, you know, that she ends up investing in the cybersecurity company that now secures UHC? Isn't it weird, isn't it? Kind of odd that the day of this, and now the guy that could actually answer questions about this cyber breach, where I just have it very benignly written as 100 million accounts were affected. I don't know if there was money stolen or whatever, but now, so UHC hires Palo Alto Networks to secure their networks, and right when they do, there's old Nance once again. There she is again, making the most perfect, perfectly timed stock investment so that she rakes in. She puts in $1.25 million and makes $11 million. $11 million. And the one person that could answer questions about it is walking down the street in NYC and gets popped five times by a 22. Amazing, isn't it? Go to the next one for me. Pick from Gateway Pundit. Person of interest in United Healthcare CEO shooting was born and raised in Maryland and comes from a well-known family. Related to Maryland state lawmaker. Article from Gateway Pundit. Jordan Conradson. Authorities identified Luigi Mangione, a 26-year-old former Ivy League student, of course, as a person of interest in the fatal shooting of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson, the Gateway Pundit reported on Monday. It was revealed the police found a manifesto. We're going to see that. Well, if it's pro-Trump, we'll see it. If it's not pro-Trump, we won't. Which ranted against the healthcare system on Mangione, who was nabbed at a McDonald's. Law enforcement found at least four fake IDs on Mangione a gun with a silencer, that's not good, and a manifesto. These parasites had it coming, is written in the manifesto. I do apologize for any strife or trauma, but it had to be done, says the manifesto. The manifesto read, according to a police official who has seen the document, CNN reports. There you go. That's all we know so far. Nancy Pelosi investment. Nancy Pelosi's involved. I mean, whether she's involved in the homicide or not, we can't say. But isn't it just strange that she's involved? Well, I mean, what are the odds? I mean, she's one of 435 members of Congress and one in 350 million Americans, and she's related somehow to the UHC killing. I mean, it's strange. I mean, it really is strange, isn't it? I didn't believe any of this 5 years ago, and now I believe it all. Because nothing is as it appears. Nothing. This part's just fun. Let's go to this one, Brett. Lives with TikTok video. Here's Taylor Lorenz on the shooting. Play it for me.
I do believe in the sanctity of life, and I think that's why I felt, along with so many other Americans, joy, unfortunately, you know, because it
joy?
Feels like...
Serious?
I mean...
Joy in a man's execution?
Maybe not joy, but certainly not, no, certainly not empathy. Because again,
we're watching the footage. How can this make you joyful? This guy's a husband, he's a father, and he's being gunned down in the middle of Manhattan. Why does that make you joyful?
Of Americans that be murdered. So are the tens of thousands of Americans, innocent Americans, who died because greedy health insurance executives like this one push a policies of denying care to the most vulnerable people. And the many millions of Americans that have watched people that I care about suffer and in some cases die because of lack of health care.
So should they all be killed then? Should they all be killed, these healthcare executives? Would that make you even more joyful?
No, that would not.
But why not?
And,
why are you laughing?
I think because, here's, because it doesn't, it wouldn't fix
you
the system.
You seem to find the whole thing hilarious.
I find your question funny.
A bloke's been murdered in the street. I don't find it funny at all.
I don't find it funny that tens of thousands of Americans die every year and because they are denied life-saving health care from people like the CEO. Mm. Now, I want to fix this system. You're right. We shouldn't be going around shooting each other with vigilante justice. No. I think that it is a good thing that...
She rambles on for another minute or so. But anyway, go to the next one for me. So she's lost her job. Yes. Officer Liu tweeted this all over Twitter. Breaking. Vox Media has announced it will cease distributing Taylor Lorenz. That's the person who went after Shia Raycheck with Lives with TikTok. Showed up at her house. She's a vaccine whore, vaccine pimp, vaccine mandator, COVID totalitarian, triple masker. That's who this is. I don't know if she's triple masked, but anyway, you know what I mean? I'm being hyperbolic. But anyway, so... You know, she used to work for the Washington Post. Not anymore. Now she doesn't work for Vox Media anyway. This is what needs to happen to these people. And she was destroyed by Piers Morgan, who's also a liberal, which is great. Vox Media has announced it will cease distributing Taylor Lorenz's podcast and YouTube show, marking the end of its partnership with a left-wing journalist. Good. Exactly what should happen to you. Go to the next one for me, Brent. Carly Bonet video, tip of the iceberg. Play for me.
By Fox News Digital. Hip-hop mogul Jay-Z is being accused of raping a 13-year-old girl along with Diddy in a lawsuit that was filed today in New York. The lawsuit states the incident allegedly happened at an MTV VMA after party 24 years ago. Fox News Digital did reach out to Jay-Z's team. They have not heard back yet, but one point from the lawsuit, quote, many others were present at the after party, but did nothing to stop the assault. We, of course, will continue to follow this case.
Forget the Epstein case. I mean, the Diddy files that come out are going to be very damaging.
Yeah, and we knew this was just getting started.
Tip of the iceberg, yeah. But 24 yes. years ago, it's going to be really difficult. You know,
yeah, that's
you're going to have a lot of opinions out there, but you really need some facts.
Yep, but the fact that this was filed says quite a bit. So, anyway, that does it for us.
Yep, tip of the iceberg is the perfect summation. Who knows what's going to come out? Who knows what's going to come out? And you look at everybody, basically, that Kamala paid during her election to perform for her, whether it's Beyonce, whether it's Oprah and others, are all linked to Diddy. Does that mean anybody that everybody committed crimes? No. But remember something, and I don't, you know, I could spend a half an hour on it, but There's a reason why they raided his home. After he has been, in my opinion, an intelligence asset. He has been a honeypotter, in my opinion, for over a decade, just like Epstein. He is the hip-hop version of Jeffrey Epstein. He's an extortionist. When you have the potential to expose your benefactors, when you have now, like Epstein had the ability to expose the people who are hiring him to extort, in my opinion, CIA, Mossad, other people were involved with Jeffrey Epstein, so that he had, again, why have those videos not been released? Why is this flight? Why does little Dick Durbin, why does he not release the Epstein flight logs? What, he's dead. I mean, Bill Gates said it. He's dead. So why is it not released? Well, once the government, who's paying these people to honeypot other people, once the government feels like they are overexposed or they're too far over their skis, then they go and raid their informant's house. That's what, I guarantee you, that's what happened with Diddy, who had a video camera in every one of his rooms, videoing everything that was going on. So that, and there's politicians there, there's celebrities there. Why is every celebrity a leftist? I know there's exceptions to that, but the biggest of the biggest names are basically leftists. Why? Is it because somebody has leverage over them? Somebody's extorting them in some way. You will say this, or this will happen to you. So is that what's happened? So now what the latest thing here is Jay-Z and Diddy have been accused. Now this is now a filed lawsuit. Long time ago, 30 years ago, something like that. An MTV after party of raping a 13-year-old, but allegedly there's numerous witnesses. Tip of the iceberg, we will see. But there's a reason why, this is my opinion. I don't have any proof of this yet. But remember, we're about to run the DOJ. Hopefully, Pam Bondi has the courage to expose people that would cause extreme political calamity. Hopefully she's not afraid to expose people that when they are exposed, it will cause an absolute political earthquake, Republican or Democrat. I don't care who it is. Expose it all. Everything. Collusion, hoax, Diddy, Epstein, everybody. Expose it all. Everything. Even if Republicans go down, it doesn't matter to me. You have to have the courage. That's why I wanted Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz would do it. I hope Pam Bondi will do it. Her reputation's good. She's not Matt Gaetz, though. But will she have the courage to expose politicians and celebrities when the cost is a political and societal earthquake? Will she have the courage to do it? I hope so. I hope she will. Because this Diddy stuff, we have to figure out what. I'm wondering, why did the FBI suddenly raid Diddy? After all these years, everybody knew what was going on, but suddenly they raid him. In my opinion, it's because his benefactors were overexposed. And he had dirt on them, so they had to go down. Just like Epstein had dirt on. Epstein finally got dirt on the wrong person, or they felt like, you know what? He's just got too much on too many people. He has too much power, so he's got to go down. Whatever. So we'll find out. All right, 10:18. 7 minutes over. Rumble Rants tonight. Snarl Barkley becomes a monthly supporter. Thank you, Snarl Barkley. Rumble Rants, Flash River, $25. The matriarch of the Rumble Rant, Tammy Elmargritter, every night, $10. Thank you so much, Tammy. Nitsua, $99, $10. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you being here on a Monday night in the Christmas season. I really do appreciate you. Nobody's really in the mood for this stuff except for losers like me. So glad you're here. Love you guys. Appreciate you coming out on Monday night with Monday Night Football and everything else. Really do appreciate it. Love you. Stick around for the post game. It's awesome. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Back here tomorrow night, 9:00. God bless each and every one of you in Jesus' name.
2 Corinthians 8:9. He became poverty so that you could become rich. And then Christians think that it's an attribute to be poor. That's like saying that it's an attribute to become sin because he became sin. Well, you just want to feed the world. How are you going to feed the world when you're broke? Wouldn't you rather, instead of signing up for a dollar a day to save this or that, wouldn't you rather save an entire village by giving them $5 million? Well, we have all of that. the cattle upon a thousand hills, and all wealth is his. Romans chapter 8, 16 and 17. Join heirs with him. Therefore, what does heir mean? Inheritance. It's yours. And it's not yours in heaven. It's yours now. Nobody ever believes it because they've been ingrained into believing that poverty is a Christian attribute. It is not. If you don't want it, give it away and let God make you a continuous conduit of cash.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.